Suffering from aches and pains? The all-new Tempur-Pedic Adapt mattress eases your pressure points all night, every night. Now, save up to $500 on select adjustable mattress sets at Tempur-Pedic.com. Select adjustable mattress sets only. Lesser savings may apply.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now, I don't need to go to Mars, because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line Podcast Network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I'm always high on the hogs, guys. I'm high. Well, I'm not high right now, but my day is young.
My odometer's way up there. I'm that 2018 that's already got 130,000 miles on it.
The Razorbacks rush across the field to get that boot.
Tommy, Chuck, and Ty, you guys are the gold standards of sports talk radio.
He bleeds to Arkansas.
Ty's got good hair.
Morning, Chuck.
Guys, last night just wore me out. I mean, it was a hard night to be a fan. You got one eye on the TV. You're watching basketball. I'm watching the baseball game. I mean, it just wore me out.
Yeah, I was pretty tired this morning. I was listening to Phil and Bubba on the golf course call that game last night, concluded it watching on ESPN2, and then, like you mentioned, the games that went late into the night. But if you stayed up watching that Alabama-North Carolina game, Chuck, it was worth your time.
Well, I didn't. I made it until halftime, and I don't know what the NCAA is thinking. You realize these games start at 10 o'clock in the Eastern time zone. It's just insane. And two-thirds of America was asleep when Alabama beat North Carolina last night. My guess would be many people listening right now woke up this morning wondering what happened in that game.
So do you start the first ones earlier, or do you play more games simultaneously?
You play more games simultaneously.
Because
look, here's the deal. Look what happened in the UConn game last night. It would have been great to have had a ball game begin about halftime of that game. I think you can stagger them. I don't think you have to start like at 8:45 or 9:15. That's just too late. I sound like an old man, I know.
Well, you know where I stand on that.
You may be.
Start them at 2 o'clock, 2, 5.
Oh, that's,
put one at 6, 7.
That's not realistic. That's not realistic.
If you need to. If you want to. That, I would at least be okay with the idea of maybe staggering 30, 45 minutes like you're saying. But, yes, to start them. We're on Central Time. Imagine if you were living on the East Coast.
Well, that's what I was saying.
I mean, that's...
Yeah, imagine if you lived on the West Coast.
The two best days of the NCAA tournament are Thursday and Friday. And they stagger games all day long on the first Thursday and Friday of the tournament. There are games staggered on the first Saturday of the tournament. You can stagger these two. You can do a better job on this. Now, Friday night's different. Friday night's different, but... Wow. I mean, that was a great game, I guess, a great finish between Alabama and North Carolina. And, again, two-thirds of America was sound asleep.
Now, one thing you've got to figure out, you say stagger the games. I mean, you're playing back-to-back games in the same venue. It wasn't like you were at four different venues last night.
Well, don't pin me down on stuff.
Oh, I'm
like
sorry.
I mean, I'm sorry.
I guess they could go. They could go play the girls. They play in the auxiliary gym out back.
I think you can stagger them. They got all these different networks. They got CBS and TBS and TNT and True.
Yeah, all they need is the floor to play on then.
I mean, they last night, what did they show last night? CBS and TBS. Yeah. Those were the games. Those were the networks last night.
They were on
night.
True as well, weren't they?
Were they? I'm not sure they were last night. Maybe I'm mistaken.
Right after Lizard Lick Towing. So.
Is that right? We don't get...
American Pickers.
Yeah. We don't get TBS, True TV, or what's the other one? It's CBS, TBS, True TV, and whatever the other one
TNT.
Was. TNT. We don't get those three. We get CBS, but those three with our television package that we get.
I thought everybody got TBS and TNT.
Apparently not. So we have to watch it through HBO Max. So I'm watching it on another app, which is confusing. I have to go from one app to another just to watch these NCAA tournament games. But
yeah, I think a lot of why do they do this? I agree with you all in principle. And yeah, it'd be better for me if they start at noon, but they don't. Is the concern for the LA and San Francisco and those big markets? I mean, how do you sell the product to an advertiser saying, "Hey, this game's going to start at 3 o'clock in LA"? You know, the second biggest media market in the country.
Well, they do it in the NFL. It starts at 9 or 10 o'clock on Sunday morning.
But March Madness, as popular as it is, not the NFL, yeah. Chuck.
All right,
and it is.
All right, then I'm wrong. They should play them late at night.
I don't. I agree with you. I'm just telling you what the logic is from a business standpoint behind it, from my vantage point.
Thank you for giving me the business aspect of it.
Well, but that's what it comes back to.
I understand. I get it. Okay. I'm sorry. I even brought it up.
No, I didn't get to say. Well, I went to the baseball game, which was awesome last night, and by the time I got home, you know, it's about over because it's close to 11 when I rolled in.
B text on the McCarty Daniel hotline. He fell asleep even before Diggs went to bat in the eighth, which Kendall Diggs has not, and he even mentioned this, that he has not had the best series, but Chuck, something about him hitting 3-run home runs, man. He did it once again in a big game last night.
You know, Ed, I was reading a little bit ago. I saw one of his quotes after the game, and it's a, you know, it's an old saying, and it's corny, but, you know, it's never too late to have a good day.
Yeah.
He's 0 for 4 and hits a bomb. And that's all anybody remembers. And that was, you know, as it turned out, to be the difference in the ballgame.
Well, if you missed Kendall's 3-run shot, let's relive it this morning with Phil Elson on the call.
Felt really good, you know, to come
through. Let's do this again. Where'd it go? There it is.
Diggs behind 0-2. Kidry throws. Pitch is hit deep into right field by Kendall Diggs. You gotta get out of here. A 3-run homer. The video board and right center for Kendall Diggs.
He loves that bases landing spot. And if I had a nickel for every time he hit it over there, it seems like I'd be a pretty rich man. And you mentioned some of his comments after the game. This is what he said in regards to just kind of how he's been hitting the ball lately and what he was able to do there.
Felt really good, you know, to come through for the guys. You know, the past couple series games, I was super happy with how I was producing for the team. That's how it goes. So just got to keep moving on to that next AB. We get a lot of them. So that's the blessing of it.
That's also a cliche. We get a lot of ABs, Chuck, and he made the most of his last night.
Well, I mean, you know, he did what he had to do in that spot, what the team needed him to do, and it was a big blow.
They had, I guess McLaughlin was up right before him, and he kind of mentioned like the lefty, and I don't think they get a chance to talk, but it is unique to watch when you have several lefties go back-to-back or back-to-back-to-back, because I think it was, if I remember right, it was Stovall, then McLaughlin, then Diggs. And so you don't necessarily have that all the time in college baseball. And he said he picks up on some things, maybe how pitchers, especially righties, cater to him. So because of the prior two batters that set him up last night. But that was one of the big plays that helped Arkansas get a victory. You also had some great performance once again by Hagan Smith. Another double-digit strikeout performance. He ends his night with, I know he gave up the back-to-back home runs, but I mean, I feel like we say it after every outing, another double-digit strikeout performance from Hagan Smith.
Well, it's not just Hagan Smith. He was terrific, but they struck out 19 batters.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there's 27 outs in a game. So, you know, they, you just don't do that often to LSU. You 19, just don't.
19 of 38 batters faced, too.
I mean, to me, that's a defending national championship team over there. I'm glad they don't have more than one Tommy White, because whether it's Hagan Smith or anybody else, that cat can hit now. And the first ball that he hit was scorched. And I can remember saying to myself last night, man, he better be careful against that guy the next time he comes up. And bang, I mean, he hits one out. But that's a good lineup. That's a really good lineup. And, you know, to do that against them is pretty impressive.
And LSU leads the SEC in strikeouts. So for not just Hagan to have 10, but the other guys to combine for 9, he only gave up 2 walks. LSU, on the other hand, gave up 11 walks. They still had 10 strikeouts, but they were a little more wild at times against Arkansas.
I think it was Josh Pearson that struck out the end of the game on Stonehealer, right? Because what do you do next? Tommy White was, I believe, in the on-deck circle when the game ended.
Yeah.
And do you walk him? What do you do? Because I don't think Stonehealer would have been out there because he really faces left-handed batters. It's his specialty.
They had Gackle up early.
Yeah,
They sat him down. I'm not sure what they.
I don't know what they
did.
Hey,
that was a big. That was a big way to finish the game.
It was
a clutch spot
because I didn't want to see him come to the plate again.
No, he's the real deal.
Yeah, Dave Van Horn was talking about Hewlett. Got himself down early in a 3-0 count, and then ended up responding. Here's what he said about the lefty in that situation.
Yeah, it was good to see Stone come in there and get that lefty. I mean, that was his job. Get that hitter right there. Finish the game. Spun a couple breaking balls in, throw him for a strike. Maybe 3 in a row. Then he threw 3 fastballs in a row, and I liked the way he didn't get all uptight about it and just basically did what we wanted him to do, and that was throw the ball over the plate. If they hit it, they hit it. But you don't want to walk in with, you know, with White on deck, who seems to be swinging the bat extremely well right now.
And you didn't have to. You got the win. Game 2 tonight, 7 o'clock. Is it going to be on the SEC Network? Tomorrow's game's at 2 o'clock on the SEC Network Plus, and the games are going to be, again, right here. ESPN Arkansas, hitthatline.com, and the Hit That Line Now app. You're going up against the ace tonight. Arkansas played its ace last night, Chuck, and now you're going to have to deal with LSU's ace tonight, who's been terrific, even from an ERA standpoint, better than Hagan Smith.
You know, I faced him before when he was at Alabama, so it's not like it's going to be completely new. He's very good. He's been very good. So here's the thing that I like about Arkansas right now at the plate is they're taking walks. They're not chasing. You know, one of the things that I think makes Smith very, very good is when he misses with his fastball, he doesn't miss by much. And he gets some swings and misses at pitches that are just a little bit out of the strike zone. And he's very good at that. He spots his fastball so well. Arkansas's hitters have done a very good job of not chasing. And that's a really important key to good at-bats, is not chasing. And LSU was a little bit wild last night, and this guy won't be tonight. But he will try to get you to chase. And they've done a good job of avoiding that, and I think that'll be important tonight.
One of the reasons that Vahiva Aloy has really stepped up his game lately is because of exactly what you just said. Dave commented in the press conference on Wednesday that he's not chasing anymore. He's taking walks, and then if he gets good pitches, he's hitting them. He's improved his batting average like 50-something points or something like that lately. And then you mentioned also, like, Hagan has the reputation. I thought Hudson White did a good job of bringing some pitches back inside the strike zone last night that were questionable or close, that really maybe set up a strike or two or strikeout in some case for Hagan Smith.
The thing about Smith is he just doesn't miss by much. You know, again, when he misses, he's still hitting his spot for all intents and purposes. There's lots of guys out there that throw 95 plus. There are. It's hard to say, but there are lots of them out there that do. Not many of them can spot that pitch. I mean, spot it. And by that, I don't just mean throw strikes. I mean throw pitches that are barely balls to where they'll chase. And he's very, very good at that. That is a pitcher as opposed to just a thrower. And he's as good as they've had in a long time at that in that regard. I've got to admit, I enjoy watching him pitch on a screen. You know, whether it's a television screen, an iPad, a phone, whatever. I want to see the pitches. I mean, I want to see how he works the hitters. He's masterful at that.
Yeah. Yeah, to draw an analogy to your point, there's a lot of guys that can hit 300-yard drives. There's very few that can hit him in the middle of the fairway every time. And that's kind of what he is. He's a power pitcher, but he's got pinpoint accuracy. You know, there's a lot of guys that can spray a long drive, but he's very accurate consistently. So, hey, tell me something, because I was there in the ballpark and the replays weren't available on the screen. When they went to replay, when the home plate umpire disallowed the run because of the out at third, how close was
very
that?
If you were
at the ballpark, you have no idea how close that was because it wasn't shown. But
it was very, very close.
I was wondering.
Yeah, it looked like to me that he was out before he made it home. I thought
he was out before he made it home. I thought he was bang, bang. Here's the thing in that situation from the overall big picture. It would have been the break of the night for Arkansas to get that run because that was really bad base running going from first to third. And I'm not knocking the kid, man. He hit a home run. He had a great night. But that's a base running mistake right there. And I don't like to see, for example, in basketball, I don't like to see bad plays rewarded with fouls. When an offensive player makes a bad play and he's bailed out by a foul, I don't like that. I thought, frankly, Arkansas's guy made a bad base running mistake, and they didn't deserve the run.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't mean I wasn't pulling for him. Didn't mean I didn't jump out of the chair and say he scored. But when you step back and you look at it in retrospect, that's probably the way it should have turned out.
Yeah, if you don't remember that play, happened in the fifth inning. Here was, again, Phil on it last night.
White steps in. Here's the pitch. Swings, ground ball, base hit into center field. Here's McLaughlin around third on his way home to score. And Wagner going first to third, thrown out by Paxton Kling to end the inning. The run does count. Does the run count or no?
He's waving it off. He's saying no run.
David Yule is saying no run. Dave Van Horn says the run should count, and I want a replay.
That's as heated as I've seen Dave Van Horn in some time.
It was close. It was really close. Yeah. Now, I'm going to guess, and if I'm speaking out of turn here, I can be corrected. Part of his frustration was at his base runner.
Oh, yeah.
He was mad when he came out of that dugout. He was looking for somebody to yell at. Yeah. And it was a questionable call. Certainly, you could question it. I think he got it right, but you could question it.
That's a hard play.
Guess would be he was just hopping mad, period, when he came out of the dugout.
Well, I didn't think he was just – he wasn't a level 10 PO'd, though.
I've seen him much worse.
Frustrated, yes. I mean, he wasn't kicking dirt and – spitting fire.
Come of age with baseball in the era of replay.
Yeah.
I mean, before replay, Dave was a demon, man.
I like the one against Auburn where he kicks the plate or whatever, or something back in the dugout.
One years ago. Was it in Ruston? Was it at La Tech? Or was it down there at Shreveport? Shreveport, I think it was. And the television, this was really early in his time here. The television station that was covering the game for Shreveport, I think, picked it up on their camera mic. It's a small ballpark. So I think he went off on them pretty good, and I think that ended up making the rounds. You know, this has been 15 or 20 years ago. You know, Norm DeBryant back in his day, they called him Stormin' Norman. I mean, if you're around him now, he's the nicest person you'd ever meet. But I've seen him light some guys up. That's just part of it.
Bruce in Nashville asked a question on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. Is Nate Oates now the best basketball coach in the SEC? Well, I think it's a fair question based on what happened last night.
Put him up three, and he missed it. And it's an Nelson got the block. Game over. Alabama, the Sweet 16 is no longer sour. They advance to the Elite Eight for the first time in 20 years.
Brian Anderson on the call there.
Good call.
Well, the key words there were they advanced to the Elite Eight for the first time in 20 years. So, no, he's not the best coach in the SEC.
I think that we can't just dismiss that after that win last.
You can't just live in the moment, Ty. Is he the hottest coach in the SEC today? Well, maybe. Is he the best coach in the league? Well, what are you basing that on last night?
I'm basing on the idea that, again, think about this. The NCAA tournament that you've made each of the last, I think, since he's been there.
Better coach than Rick Barnes. Give me a break.
Rick
Barnes is a Hall of... Ty, you're living in the moment. You're not looking at the big picture.
Regular season Rick, the guy that can't get past the Sweet 16 in Knoxville unless it's tonight.
All right, ramble
maybe,
on. Do your
maybe
deal.
It's, Do your maybe deal. It's one of the... I just don't think you can quickly dismiss something like that.
And I don't think you can quickly say a guy's the best coach in the league just because his team got to the Elite Eight for the first time in school history.
It's 20 years.
You just said it.
It was first time in his history. First time in 20 years.
First time in his history. Yeah, 20 years.
But almost your lifetime.
Again, Bruce in Nashville brings that up. I'm not saying it's correct. I don't think you can just quickly dismiss it.
No. My answer is no.
Okay.
What do you think?
Yeah, what's your answer?
I think he's in discussion for it now after finally get over and
so you don't have an answer.
Hump.
You're just saying he's in the discussion.
Who is the best coach in the league?
Give a direct answer. Is he the best coach or not?
If you say Rick Barnes, are you going to say Cal?
No. Answer B.E.'s question. Is he the best coach in the SEC today?
I don't think you can just definitively say no. That's what I'm saying. I don't think you can accurately say yes 100% right now he is, but what I will say is that you look at the regular season success that he's had at Alabama, which is not a traditional rich basketball program, everyone knows that, and then you combine that with them finally getting past that said hump last night, which was the whole thing. Him and Rick Barnes can't do it. We'll see if Barnes in Tennessee can beat Creighton later on tonight. The whole idea was this is just a regular season basketball coach. Well, he proved last night against the blue blood of college basketball in North Carolina, against the number one seed, that he's not just a regular season coach. I hate saying that, again, about a guy that I have a deep disdain for, but I'm also willing to counter and say that he is in that category in discussion.
So if that shot that Brian Anderson described had not been blocked and went in, now he's not good?
No, it's not that he's good. It's the question that was asked by Bruce in Nashville, is he the best coach in the SEC?
And all you're saying is he's among them. Well, everybody knows that, Ty. The question was, is he the best coach in the SEC? I say the answer to that question is no. You say yes or no?
I think, the answer is subjective. You can have that opinion, and then I can have mine. I just don't think you just can say it like that. He's not at all. I just don't think you can say that anymore.
I'm not saying he's not at all.
Last night proved that you can't do that with him.
We'll give an answer, yes or no.
I'm not saying not at all. I'm saying that in my judgment, based on his entire body of work and other coaches' bodies of work, I don't believe he's the best coach in the SEC. Well, is he a very good coach? Absolutely.
We'll see if Rick Barnes
has done a great job at Alabama. Look, I think there are other coaches in the SEC that are better than Nate Oates, mm-hmm. just for the record. But I don't think he's the best coach in the SEC. You're just telling me that I'm wrong while you're not giving an answer at all. Give an answer, yes or no.
Yes
or no.
You have to look at like 50 bajillion things, and it was a question that was just spurred by a texter.
Any problem processing of that.
Yeah, and yet you didn't give me an answer. You haven't given me an answer.
I don't know who the best
coach is. That's what I just said.
He didn't ask who the best coach is. He asked, is Nate Oates the best coach?
But you didn't respond with, this guy's the best coach, and you didn't either.
Because I don't know who the
best
coach is.
That's what I just said.
That's not his question. His question was, is he the best? First off, this is a silly discussion. But secondly, his question was, is he the best coach in the SEC?
I said was, you can actually put him in that discussion now. You couldn't have before last night's win.
That's avoiding the question.
Everyone's going to have their different opinion about that. You're going to have your opinion. You're going to have your opinion. You're going to have mine. I guarantee you we would have three different opinions on that.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Suffering from aches and pains? The all-new Tempur-Pedic Adapt mattress eases your pressure points all night, every night. Now, save up to $500 on select adjustable mattress sets at Tempur-Pedic.com. Select adjustable mattress sets only. Lesser savings may apply.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa in downtown Hot Springs, Arkansas is the perfect destination for your next getaway. Join them for a romantic Valentine's Day getaway with a special dinner or romance package. Or if you're coming to town for live racing, they've got room for you every weekend, including Martin Luther King Day weekend and President's Day weekend. Experience all the luxury and hospitality of a Grand Southern Hotel. The accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more details. That's arlingtonhotel.com.
Call or text the McLarty Daniel Hotline at 877-377-6963. McLarty Daniel, a vehicle for every lifestyle.
When you're looking for a new car, you want to shop for a vehicle you love with an organization you trust. You've probably heard that McLarty Daniel means making deals, but what I'm inspired by the most is that McLarty Daniel means making a difference in our community. When you buy a vehicle with McLarty Daniel, you reinvest right here in the community, in our schools, in our little leagues, in our food banks, and our people. So you're not just making a purchase, you're making a difference too. Come see us at any of our six locations in Northwest Arkansas.
The tournament is here. Bet Online is your bracket headquarters for this season with the best bracket contests out there and odds, lines, and info on every game and every round right up to the national championship. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or your mobile device and even track your bracket real-time all the way through the tournament. Head to Bet Online today and get in on all the action. Remember to use the promo code BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online. The game starts here.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
All right, real quick, before we talk to our friend Scott Tabor, presented by Alumni Hall, I'm sure Brian in Ozark has something riveting to share with us this morning. Brian, welcome in, man.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up?
I got a question about baseball.
Okay.
So there's no doubt that Dave Van Horn's going to have a great season, and he's going to win over 50 games this year. So if they don't win the national title in baseball, in your opinion, I'd like to know, is it a bust of the season? And I hang up and listen.
It's a bust if they don't go to Omaha, and they're number one the majority of the season. I don't think there's any question. If you're describing the entire season as a national championship or bust, I don't know if I can go that bridge too far, but if they don't get to Omaha and they're number one all season long, it's a bust. It was a bust a couple years ago with Kevin Copps, and they didn't lose an SEC series, and they lost to North Carolina State. That was a bust of a season, a bust of a postseason, I'd say. You had a great regular season. You won the SEC title. You did all that. That's great. You love it. You love back and remember it. But at some point, this program has to get over the hump. Gosh, I hope it's this year, and I think it is this year. But if they don't make it to Omaha, I'll draw the line there. If they don't make it past the Super Regional in Fayetteville, Arkansas, which it'll be the second weekend of June, it is a bust of a postseason.
I think that's fair. I mean, but
well,
I think
that's not what he asked, but I would think everyone expects Arkansas to go to Omaha.
Yeah, but I think that's the expectation at the start of every season, right? His question was national championship or bust.
No,
that was
you
Brian's
can't.
Question.
Again, I said that's a bridge too far.
I agree with you.
But so. If they don't go to Omaha, it's a bust of a postseason. Based on what you have, based on the first rounders we addressed, and based on, again, assuming this team is around that one all year long.
Brian's question.
I think
it's fair
to say that is fans' expectation. There's no question that is the fans' expectation. I don't think there's any debate there at all as far as getting to Omaha. What I don't think is people realize just how hard it is to get there. Whether you're ranked number one or whether you're ranked number 25 or whether you're not ranked at all, it is hard to get there, as we've seen before. You're one hot team away from, you know, sacking up the balls and bats, and that's kind of how it works. But I do think it is fair to say that fans' expectations, right or wrong, fans' expectations are to go to Omaha.
Yeah, and all you got to see is the last few years and you know, recount Ole Miss, Mississippi State. You don't have to be the best team all year long to win it all. That tells you the amount of, you know, good fortune that needs to come your way to be the last team standing.
Ole Miss took your national championship 2 years ago. You would have beat Oklahoma by 30 runs in two games. 30 runs. And Mike Bianco and that team took it from you.
30? 30.
That, I mean, they would have massacred.
The master of the overstatement.
No, you would have massacred the Sooners in two games. It would have been a bloodbath in those two games. Unfortunately, they got the benefit of a bounce or two in that final game before the College World Series final, and that program that does not deserve a national title got a national title. So that's
is
how
Mike Bianco the best coach in the
No, he's not. Oh, no, he's not. And just to be just
who
to be,
is? Who is?
In the SEC, it's not Jay Pitting Johnson, down. Even though they just won. It's probably Kevin O'Sullivan.
It's
and
Dave
what about
Van
our
Horn.
Guy?
It's Dave.
What
Van
about
Horn.
Our guy?
Got to get a national champion.
Why is it always somebody else's guy?
I wanted to. You can't say that your baseball coach is the best in the country, the best of the SEC without a national championship. Mm. If he gets one this year, I will absolutely agree with it. You've got to get a national championship.
He's on the clock. He's on Ty's clock.
Let's bring in Scott Tabor to the conversation.
Let's talk to former Razorback pitcher Scott Tabor on the Morning Rush. Our conversation with Scott is brought to you by Alumni Hall, your ultimate Razorback shopping experience. Located next to Whole Foods in Fayetteville or shop alumnihall.com. Alumni Hall, where Razorback fans shop.
Go crazy at Bum Walker! Go nuts!
Well, they were going nuts last night. Hagan Smith, early in the ballgame, Scott, passed you in the record book for all-time career strikeouts. How'd that feel watching that moment for you?
Wasn't a lot of surprise there. I thought it would have happened earlier. You know, it's what it is. I'm glad my name is even mentioned in the same sentence as Hagan Smith. Well, because he passed me, my name is still there. So that was pretty quite an honor.
Hey, it goes from fourth to fifth. Yeah. That's still awfully good. I mean,
well, in Ty's book, you now suck. So, you know,
Hey, I'm on Ty's clock now. So I guess I'm gone.
That's exactly right. Tell him you love him. Tell him you love him.
Tell me you love me, Ty. I love you, Ty.
Would it be annoying to be a pitcher in today's college baseball? I mean, I know Mac had that pitch clock issue last night, which they cleaned up, luckily. But would you get frustrated with the way the game is today, and especially as a pitcher standpoint?
No, not really. It's not much different, Ty. A lot of pitchers never even notice it, but it teaches. It's what it does is it culls out the guys that get out there and fiddle fart around, and they pick up the bag and they take their glove out, they fix their hat, and they do this. They turn around, they take their hat off, and they fix their hair again, and then they do everything. And it takes them 10 minutes to throw a pitch, and so it's culled all that out, which has sped the game up tremendously. That and the batters, you know, taking their gloves off three times between every pitch. So that's all the difference it is.
Tommy started you off with that Hagan. He gives up those back-to-back home runs against two of the better hitters, not just in the SEC, but, I mean, Tommy White's one of the best hitters in baseball. How do you think he was able to respond for really the first back-to-back he's given? He couldn't even remember last night, Scott, the last time he gave up back-to-back home runs.
Yeah, you know, as a pitcher, you remember the sound of a home run more than anything in the world, and I'll just be honest. I wasn't very good after I gave up a home run. It took me a couple of batters to kind of get back in the swing. You know, you're so used to seeing a pitch that you're throwing, going by, and either not swinging or not hitting it very hard. And then all of a sudden you've got that sound that just resonates in your brain. It makes a different sound when it leaves the bat. You just kind of look down at the ground and look and see exactly where it's going to end up. But, you know, it just shows his mental toughness. And it shows, I think, the toughness of this team and their mentality and nobody gets down, and I played on some teams like that. The 79 team was like that. It didn't really matter what happened. Nobody got down. It was like, all right, here we go. Well, we got two innings to score six runs. Not a problem. We'll score three this one, four the next one, win the game, go home. And it was never a doubt. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. And they're seeing one of the things that I love to watch about this team is the whole bench. When you play on a team where everybody's engaged, it just makes it more fun. You know, you see the guys on the side, they're watching the game, they're talking about the game, and they're laughing, and somebody will say something funny because they're kids. And they're having a good time, they're playing great baseball.
Scott Tabor with us here on the McLarty Daniel Hotline, recapping last night's Arkansas win over LSU. Two games ahead, and does it feel to you like with the change from Johnson and the LSU pitching rotation, is he pitching off, or what was your analysis on that when that announcement came out that we weren't going to go ace for ace last night?
Well, somebody called me about that, because and this is kind of a funny story. When I played, Texas had Clements, my senior year. And so I'd given up one run in 2 years against Texas, and they needed to win two out of three in our place. And they put their third number three pitcher on Friday night and threw Clements on Saturday. Back then you played a Friday nine and then a seven and a nine on Saturday. And so my only claim to fame is, Clements dodged me. And the thing, I wasn't the better pitcher. I was just better against his team. And he didn't want to give up. He didn't want it to be a one-run game, and it's a shutout, and all of a sudden one of our guys hits one out of the park, because that can happen to anybody. And so he was doing a little strategy. I think it was part of that, what a compliment to the University of Arkansas that LSU wants to try to get two out of three, you know, any way they can. And that just shows where the program is at this time.
Yeah. Arkansas 6-1 now in the SEC. LSU finds themselves at 2-5 in league play. Chuck's pointed this out a few times this week. You know, LSU's very talented. They're very dangerous when they're getting backed in the corner. And Scott, it feels like for LSU, these next two games, winning one or both of them is very important to, you know, not paint their way into a corner early in the league race.
Right, right. Well, you guys kind of hit on it earlier. Not the best. The best team during the season isn't always the best team who's the last guy standing at the end of the year. Baseball is one of those games. Every game is different because you don't have the same people on the field. A football team has the same guys on the field. You know, so if they're strong, they're going to be strong every game. Because when you're changing pitchers and constantly changing pitchers, then the game changes. And so. You never know how they'll end up, and they got some great players. I mean, everybody they ran out there last night has talent, and they can hit. But Arkansas is the same way. Right now, we're doing it better than anybody. And so, you want to get as many points in the W side earlier in the season, because they all count as one point at the end of the year. That's your record, and that's what everything stands on. So gathering W's early in the season is just as important as gathering them later.
Scott, Dave Van Horn let slip at a Swatters Club, and I don't know if let slip the right term. He kind of alluded to the fact that it sounds like Tennessee and Texas are coming in here next year. We've seen this rivalry grow and blossom between Arkansas and LSU in baseball lately.
Right.
Will Texas still surpass that? Is that still the top dog, even in baseball, that Arkansas fans and players and coaches want to beat?
I think what you're going to find is older guys like me who grew up in the Southwest Conference, and you saw it year after year after year. I mean, it's Texas, 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 because they were the big boys on the block. Texas, USC, Arizona, Arizona State, some of Florida State. They were the premier programs across the country every year because they were warm weather states. Facilities have helped even out the playing field a little bit, travel ball and all those other things that have gone on. I think you'll see it come back because there'll be a lot of fans kind of come back and start watching Arkansas sports more just because we're playing Texas in football, playing Texas in basketball. And you want to see us kill Texas. And right now I want to see us kill Texas, and I want to see us kill LSU, and I want to see us kill Missouri twice. But, you know, it's I think it'll bring some more fans back. And some older people come back, start watching.
Yeah. A little change in the rotation for this weekend. Brady Tigert's had a few control issues. Let's get you out of here on this one. Anything you're seeing from a mechanic standpoint, anything you're seeing in Brady's game that you hope to see a little bit different this week to have maybe a little better control off the mound?
When I watch Brady throw, you know, he has such dynamic stuff. And when he's staying tight, and everybody's got different definitions of what it is, and I call when a pitcher starts getting loose. And when he starts getting loose, to me, he throws his front shoulder is his key, his front shoulder and his front hip. He'll start opening up and kind of slinging it, and it just irritates me to death. It just hurts my soul to watch a pitcher, after he throws the ball, have his back facing the batter. Because you save 3, 4, 5 hits a game if they're making contact. A ball's right back up the middle. You feel the ball throw it to first. Easy out. That's what you work for. And they don't teach that anymore. And he will, when he gets loose, he's almost spinning around backwards, and you see him dodge some line drives back up the middle. He's ducking. He's not trying to field them because he can't. But when he gets loose, he starts pulling it glove side, so it's low and outside, you know. If he really tries to throw it harder, he leaves it up in the end to hit her. I mean, that's because the front of his body's out of position, and that's really all it is, I think, more than anything else. And once he gets that confidence back, I think he'll be fine.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
About an hour 45 minutes into the program, we haven't mentioned Arkansas football just yet. If you're wondering about the scrimmage tomorrow for Sam Pittman and his football team, it is starting at 8:30. If you want to attend the scrimmage, you can bring in your own food, you can bring in your own drinks, and you can park for free in lot 44. So if you want to do that early, maybe go get something to eat after, then go to the baseball game if you're in Fayetteville this weekend or Northwest Arkansas, you can do that. Here's kind of the format that Sam Pittman laid out of what's going to happen tomorrow.
Each guy who's playing with the ones and twos will get about 50 snaps. There'll be some situations third down. We're going to do a 2 minute, get the ball back 2 minute. The threes will probably get around that 30 mark. I think it'll be about 130, 140 play scrimmage.
130, 140 plays,
that's a
guys.
Long scrimmage.
Yeah. So we'll get to see some.
That's what Petrino used to do when he was head coach, right? They had some just brutally
They've
long
had
scrimmage.
Some long scrimmages with Pittman. You know, Pittman kind of recommitted to hitting, you know, and I would imagine it'll be physical tomorrow. And they'll stretch for about 20, 25 minutes. If you roll in at 9 o'clock, you'll see everything worth seeing.
Yep. And I know the number one question outside of maybe Bobby Petrino and how his offense will look this year was a integral part of that offense, which is the quarterback. When asked about that question, hey, timeline's still looking like you're going to name him after spring. Here's what Sam said in regards to Taylor Green, Malachi Singleton, and Jacoby Criswell.
We had told him that we figured out it by the end of the spring. And, I mean, you guys have been at practice, I think, but we got to wait till the end of spring, and then that's what we'll do. We'll continue to practice probably about like what we're doing right now in the rotation.
Did you guys hear that? Don't pick up on that?
Well,
you guys have been at practice, him alluding, he's talking to the media there.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Taylor Green's going to be their starting quarterback. Taylor Green's been taking the ones. Taylor Green's going to do it tomorrow. Unless he just flounders in these open scrimmages with fans, which he's not going to. He's played real college football before. That's your starting quarterback this fall. As you just heard from your head football coach, they're going to wait till the end of spring to announce that. But it's not going to change. Taylor Green's going to be your starting quarterback. I don't know if he's going to be that all year. I know at one point he lost his job at Boise State, but I would bet a lot of money. I don't think he can do so on the Bet Saracen app right now, but that's your starting quarterback this fall. All right, you got a game one victory against the LSU Tigers last night. A big part of that was Hagan Smith and his performance. Guy was wheeling and dealing once again last night.
2-2 pitch to Jared Jones. He struck him out swinging. Slider up. Smith strikes out his 10th and gets Jones for a third time.
Talking with Scott Tabor about that, and Tommy, you kind of joked with him. He passed Scott's record pretty quick. Last nine.
Well, and you knew he would probably early in the ball game, but hey, it's a testament to how good Scott was for back in his day, and how long. Think about how long he stayed in the top five, top four in that record. That's pretty incredible for that number to stand that long.
Yeah, I'm forgetting his teammate that was also in the top five, but that was pretty good pitching. It's probably why they wanted up in the college.
Hey, Tabor could pitch now. I'm old enough to remember. Tabor could pitch.
And the complete game stat that you always reference to, Tommy.
That
will never be touched. All right, that is your Hog Update this morning, brought to you by our friends at Mr. Sparky.
You don't have to put up with any malarkey. Call 888-8-SPARKY.
It's been a while since we've had Sean the Fence Man here in studio as we welcome him back for another edition of Fence Man Friday. Sean, you've been busy, 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 man.
We have been super blessed at the Fence Man. We have been gifted a lot of really great jobs, and I've had to be on site and managing because we're just, you know, again, we're always looking for great talent and great people. And I'm the kind of owner that if it's got to get done, I'll show up on the job site and make sure it gets done.
Well, let's get done with some more Fence Man Fridays. We get into another edition NCAA tournament games.
Fence Man Friday picks. Call the Fence Man for all kinds of fences, controlled access, and custom iron projects. 479-782-3936. The Fence Man. We ain't afraid of no work.
All right, so you got four games tonight, and we'll see what happens with the Elite Eight games on Saturday and Sunday. But we're going to pick the four games plus the Razorback baseball game, as Arkansas is actually underdog on the money line in game number two. Tommy, we'll start with North Carolina State against Marquette. Marquette is a 6.5-point favorite. I've got Burns in NC State. That's maybe the most likable guy left in the NCAA tournament. So I'm going to take them to not win, but cover against Shaka Smart. I think they lose, but it's close.
I think Marquette wins the game, but I'll take North Carolina State as well. I like watching Burns play.
He's fun to watch. Shaka, are you going Wolfpack and Kevin Keats, or are we going with Marquette in this one?
I'm going to pull for Kevin Keats and the Wolfpack, but I kind of think Marquette's going to cover.
They got a lot of that. Tyler Kolick, that's one of Matt Jones' favorite players to watch.
Big East really good. Big East was good this year.
No, you're right. Shaka, where are you going on this one, man?
Wolfpack.
All right.
Here we go.
Next game.
Okay.
Gonzaga against Purdue. Mark Few trying to get back to another Final Four, win his first national championship against Matt Painter, who a lot of times makes an early exit. They're going to do so tonight. Not only is Gonzaga going to cover, Tommy, but they're going to outright win and beat the Boilermakers. They are a 5.5-point favorite. Escape me this morning. Purdue is a 5.5-point favorite. They're going to lose, not just the spread, but they're going to lose outright tonight.
I agree. I'm going to take the Zags straight up.
What about you, Chuck?
I'm going with Purdue because you guys are going with the Zags. No other reason.
What do you think, Sean?
Well, when you first started this, I thought, man, I got to go with Gonzaga. I think they're going to bring it back. They always do.
They're
tough.
It's a good basketball program for you, Scott. Another game on. Jim Nance will probably be in attendance. Duke taking on his alma mater, Houston. Houston is a 4.5-point favorite. I know Duke's had two NCAA tournament games that you would give them credit for, but they're soft. They're really a soft basketball team. That is a finesse basketball team. Houston's going to pound them inside. They're going to play for former Razorback Reggie Chaney, who they've spoken to, the late Reggie Chaney. I've got Houston not only winning, but them covering by at least five or more tonight, Tommy.
I'll take Houston as well.
Well, I'm going to go with Houston, too. I'm taking the Cougars tonight.
The Cougs.
Sean, you're going to go with us? You're going to stand on an island?
Well, my wife's from Houston, so you know I got to go that direction.
I got you.
I got to stay with my
Cougars, Aggies, anybody within the vicinity of Houston, you got to go for.
Only thing I don't go for is the Longhorns. That's it, you know.
Well, you got to stand on principle.
Fair. Now, that's a great stand to take. All right, last game of the night, Creighton against the Tennessee Volunteers. And Rick Barnes, 3.5-point favorites are the Vols. Guys, I think Creighton wins this game. Shireman, Kalkbrenner, they've got too much. I think Creighton gets it done. Kalkbrenner?
Oh, the center. Yeah. I forget his name. He's got that funny name.
He's outstanding. I'm going to go Creighton. I think that McDermott takes him to the Elite Eight tonight, Tommy.
Well, Creighton's really tough. Give me Creighton.
What do you think, Chuck?
Rocky Top, baby.
They get there. Bruce Dan's going to be happy on Tuesday then. What do you think, Sean?
Go Vols!
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Whether you're shopping for grads, getting an early gift for dad, or just looking for a little something new or used for yourself, you'll find it at HPB. And you'll get almost everything for an extra 20% off during the big sale at Half Price Books this Memorial Day weekend. Saturday, May 25th through Monday, May 27th, save big in-store at your local Half Price Books and at HPB.com. Offer cannot be combined with other coupons. Exclusions apply. To learn more, visit HPB.com.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Have you tried Benville Brewing's new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale? It's handcrafted in Arkansas. You'll taste the great tropical citrus, including the passion fruit, the guava, and pineapple. It's creamy, zingy, and zows the taste buds. It's weird, wonderful, and wacky all at the same time. Try the new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale from Benville Brewing.
So a lot of times when asked about NIL, we have more questions to your question than answers. Hopefully we get some more answers as we now welcome Chris Bauer into the program, Executive Director of Arkansas Edge via the McLarty Daniel Hotline. Chris, I know you guys have just launched the Drive for Five initiative. For those that don't know what that is or don't know what y'all are trying to do, just kind of explain in a short time here what's the goal of this initiative.
Well, hey guys, thanks for having me. I appreciate you guys having me on. We launched this week the Drive for Five campaign. Its mission is to help get us to 5,000 members strong in the Arkansas Edge fan membership club. There's a lot of different ways that we can support NIL, and one of those ways is through fan support and in the membership club. There's a lot of different benefits that come with that. And we have some big plans for the membership club this year.
Hey, Chris, this is Chuck. Welcome to Arkansas. I'm not the first to say that, but I want you to know we're glad you're here. There's the perception, I think, among some that NIL is just for rich folks. Tell us how the everyday Razorback fan can become involved in this.
Yeah. Hey, Chuck, and thank you for the welcome. I've been in Arkansas for a very long time, but back on the Hill, and I'm glad to be there. You're right. I think that that is the perception that it's big donors that will have to support NIL, and that does happen. That is still one way that we're what I call filling the bucket, right? But it's going to take more than just that. Because while there are some very generous big donors in the state of Arkansas, the need is pretty great for NIL to keep up and to be competitive. And it's going to take more than just that. So We also, Arkansas Edge really has three ways to get involved, and one of the three ways is of course, continuing to take charitable contributions, large donations. But we have also started this fan membership club, and it is for passionate Razorback fans across the state. And I know that we are all passionate fans. I'm one of them as well, right? It's for fans to be able to get involved in what's going on, have a stake in the hopeful success of teams and the competitiveness of teams. They can get involved for as little as $25 a month. That's where the lowest level of membership starts and goes all the way up to $250 a month. We're asking Razorback fans to, at whatever level that they can, get involved.
Chris Bauer with us, Arkansas Edge, here on the McLarty Daniel Hotline. This effort began, I guess, at kind of the conclusion of football season, and 4 or 5 months under your belt, you've kind of rebranded and come out with this Drive for Five. How have the first 3 or 4 months went? You started zero, and where has this program grown to in terms of membership numbers?
Yeah, so it's while Arkansas Edge was announced on November the 28th at the Duke basketball game, which was really only a little over 4 months ago, I actually didn't step into this role until January the 8th. So I'm really only not even 3 months on the job. And there's a lot of interest. There's been, a lot of questions that have come from all over the state and all over the fan base, from media. It's confusing, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of people want to know about, how NIL works, and it works differently, it seems, at every school. So that only adds to the confusion. But there's been a lot of interest in it. We are, out of the gate. We are pushing about 500 members right now, and the goal is 5,000. Hopefully, by the kickoff of football season, that's kind of our kind of line in the sand is that we want to have 5,000 by the kickoff of football, and we think that that's doable, right? I know that seems a bit aggressive, but that's doable. There are programs around us, collectives around us that also have fan membership clubs and, states around us, and they are pushing 6,000 members, going to 10,000 members. In a state like Arkansas, where we're the only Power 5 team in the state, most people that live in the state are Razorback fans, and we don't have a pro team to compete with or to share the limelight with. We're the only team in the SEC that can say that, right? If you look across the SEC, there are divided fan bases. There are pro teams to compete with and for attention and fan support, and we don't have that. So I feel like 5,000 should be a slam dunk for us. And really, that's kind of just the first goal, right, is 5,000, because we know that if some of the programs around us are – in the 6,000-7,000 range and pushing for 10,000, we know we could do that too.
Chris, you said something a minute ago that kind of resonated with me. When people contact you or when you contact people about Arkansas Edge, is one of the first things you really have to do kind of explain the NIL process to them? Because I just wonder, there are so many perceptions about NIL out there in the public. It's hard to know which ones are correct, which ones are incorrect. Is that one of the first things you've got to do with people, is just basically explain what all this is?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think some people are want to know the details as much as they can. And then there are some people who don't, right? They're just like, listen, I know it's supportive. I don't care how it works. I just want us to be competitive and win, right?
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah. So, whatever happens behind the curtain, they don't care, right? There are a lot of people who are interested, and I think more than anything, they are just curious about how it works. It's new. And as I said earlier, it works differently at every university, with every collective. If you look across the landscape and, you know, you go to the different websites of different collectives across the country, you can see that they, you know, the way that they set them up is it could look different from what we're doing or anybody else. And it really is based upon their fan base, their program, their coaches, and how coaches want to get involved in the fundraising process, their administration, and really kind of just the makeup of the total culture and environment of a school, and how they set those up. So I think there is an education process that has to take place, and I spend a lot of time answering questions about how is this different from previous NIL efforts at the university? What's tax deductible? Is there a tax deductible option? What's not tax deductible? What are the best ways for, donors to get involved, for fans to get involved, and for businesses to get involved? Because, there's an avenue for businesses as well to work with student athletes and work with Arkansas Edge to help promote their businesses too. So I spend a lot of time talking about that, the business part of it, because that is definitely different for every business, yeah. Right? Every business has different promotional or marketing needs. They have different products and services. And so how we might have a student athlete involved in the promotion of what they're doing can take different forms for each business, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a huge educational component to this. We try to do some of that education on our website. There's some FAQs on our website that help fans and supporters to understand a little bit about the rules and what NIL is, because that's another part of it. That there's the rules for NIL are not always clear, and they don't make the most sense sometimes, right? And so something that might seem logical that we should be doing, we're not doing because of an NCAA policy or state law.
Chris, we get a lot of calls, a lot of feedback here on the show, and there seems like a common belief or a perception, at least amongst fans, that, hey, if the football or basketball season didn't meet expectations and you're not winning as many games as you want, well, it must be we don't have enough NIL money. Or if Tennessee and Alabama have a great basketball season, it must be because they've had more NIL money. Is it that simple that, NIL money and winning follow each other?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's definitely a correlation to that, right? The NIL, a strong NIL program attracts top talent. And so with talent, you're going to see better results on the field. And so I think there's a correlation there. You can't guarantee success, right? Only one team can win the national championship. You hope that you get in the conversation. You hope that you're putting your team in the, now with the expanded college football playoff, you hope that you're, putting your team in position to be able to grab one of those spots and have a chance. It works the same, across football and across basketball. For football, it's a sheer numbers game, right? There are 85 scholarship players, and the team is even bigger than that. The basketball team is, a dozen or a few more. And so, the numbers for the different programs look different. But the need is still the same, right? Success is going to follow talent, and to get the best talent here, we need to have a strong NIL program.
Talking with Chris Brower, who's the executive director of Arkansas Edge via the McCarty Daniel Hotline. Chris, you mentioned rules just a short while ago. What is the rule about having Razorback stuff associated with Arkansas Edge? Like, I know you'll have the different packages, you get certain gear. I know a lot of people I talk to would much rather have Razorback stuff. Is that a rule that you guys can't give away Razorback stuff? Okay.
It is. So if you look across if you look across other collectives too, you'll see that they have merch, and they offer merch to in their membership clubs and also maybe on their web stores. we're building up a web store soon that will have, you know, a lot of different merchandise that people can purchase. You know, there's going to be some. I can't tell you right now, but there's going to be some really cool stuff on there. And hopefully, whenever we announce that, people will love that. But yeah, there are rules around you know, what can be used on the merchandise, what IP can be used. Unfortunately, we can't use Razorback IP on the merchandise. We can use it in our marketing only because we have purchased the right to do that, and that's also a rule. Even though we're the collective that supports the Razorbacks, we can't be given the right to use the IP. We have to purchase that. We can't put it on our merchandise, but we can put it on our marketing materials online and that sort of thing.
Chris,
yeah, there's rules around that. I understand. I've seen the, you know, the social media posts of people saying, hey, I want this to have a hog on it, or all it has is an Edge logo. And you know, that's unfortunately, you know, one of the crazy rules that we have to live by.
Chris, you mentioned taking over this job in January, and I realize it's a tough gig. A lot of people don't agree with the way college sports is. So my question is to you personally, why are you the guy for the job? Why should Arkansas fans trust you with the hell of a gig that is going to help the future of this athletics department?
Yeah, I mean, so why me? You know, I grew up in Arkansas. I'm from Hot Springs, and I grew up a Razorback fan. And I, you know, I remember probably one of my earliest memories is watching with my dad, watching us win the national championship in 1994 on TV. And kind of from there, it was ignited. And my first football game was in 1998, Houston's first year at Arkansas. And Big Bad Alabama was coming to town. They were ranked. And man, we just whipped the snot out of them. I think it was 42-6, right? And still one of their worst losses in the SEC history. And you know, that was my senior year of high school. I was trying to decide where I wanted to go to school, but it really was never in question. I was coming to the U of A, and I was in the Razorback band while I was here, and just, you can't help but be immersed in the culture and really have Razorback red blood running through your veins after that, you know? So I also worked in the athletic department as an undergrad. I worked in, back then, they split athletic departments. I worked in women's athletics under Bev Lewis and Chris Pohl, doing marketing and promotion. And from there, you know, those two individuals helped me get a job in fundraising at another university. Spent 3 years at Duke University, and the equivalent of the Razorback Foundation out there, doing fundraising. So I've got fundraising in my background for athletics. Also, you know, I'm an alum. I'm a huge, you know, passionate Razorback fan. But then I decided after spending a couple years at Duke, I went to grad school at Clemson in South Carolina and got an MBA and a master's in science and marketing and took the business route. And I've spent the last 15 years working in marketing strategy and advertising. I worked for Axiom in Little Rock for almost 12 years and then spent 3 years as the VP of marketing for two of the advertising agencies of Interpublic Group, which is the company that is the parent company of Axiom now. So I have if you think about this, what NIL is and what we are trying to accomplish, you know, especially from the business partnership side, we are turning student athletes into influencers. We're turning them into spokespeople, ambassadors for brands. And that's what the agencies that I worked for, that was one of the specialties, one of the solutions that we provided was affiliate marketing and influencer marketing. And so I've got a background, I feel like, that is a unique skill set. You know, not only an alum, I'm from Arkansas, I'm a passionate Razorback fan. I have, you know, I've worked in the athletic department before, I've worked in fundraising for athletics, and I have a background in marketing strategy and advertising that not only helps us in building those business partnerships for our student athletes, but it also helps in building this new initiative that is Arkansas Edge. So I feel like that it sort of brings together my whole background into one role for a university that I feel very passionate about, and I want us to win.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.